conclusion of this series. We have been talking about getting where you are going, getting where you are going. And to get where you're going, if you've been a part of the services, and by the way, they're online, and this one will be up online by tomorrow night. But if you're going to get where you're going, you got to hear God. You got to know God's will, right? You have to hear God's voice, and you have to apply God's word. Apply God's word. That's what we've looked at so far. The fourth one is the conclusion that kind of pulls it all together this morning. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to get there in a little bit. But what the Lord's given me today, we're going to lead into that verse. But so besides God's will and God's voice and God's word, there is one more absolutely critical, crucial, essential component, and it is God's Spirit. God's Spirit. And I just want to talk with you just about that for a moment. But before I do that, I just want to take just a second and let's just pray. Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege I have to stand in your desk, your pulpit, and to stand here and allow you to speak by your Spirit to us. I pray that that is exactly what would happen. It is not enough that we have a sermon or a message preached. It is that we want to hear from you. So Holy Spirit, speak into our hearts. We want to get where we're going, but more importantly, we want to get where you're carrying us. And so we open ourselves up. We ask that you overcome any hindrances to preaching or to hearing and receiving the word today, any hindrances, any biases that we have, and let us hear what the Spirit's saying to the church today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. About 9 years ago, 8 years ago or so, about a year after we came back to Valdosta, a friend of mine, David Strahan, who is now the state in Alabama, he's the state missions and men's ministries director. But he called me up and he said, listen, there is a one-day conference at Southeastern University, that's the Assembly of God College, University down in Lakeland, Florida. He called me and he said, hey, I'm coming through. I'm going down to the conference. It's with Jack Hayford, and I just think it's going to be dynamic, the subject he's going to be speaking about. Why don't you jump in with me and go down? We'll spend one night. We'll attend the conference and come back the same day. So, you know, I asked Geraldine, hey, you think you can spare me for a day? So I threw a few things in a duffel bag, and David came by, threw the bag in the car, and here we go. And of course, I'm just riding along. It's late in the afternoon, very late in the afternoon when he picks me up. And we're just talking. I mean, David's driving, right? David's driving. And in a little while, about a couple of hours in, we were down. He got off the interstate somewhere. I'm not sure where he got off the interstate. I probably could find it now because Gerald and I have been so many times to Lakeland now to see Casey Lynn. But then I'm just riding. And I noticed it, just about dark, I noticed David was making several turns. And he'd go down and he'd turn, he'd come back and he'd turn. And in a minute, I just looked over at him and I said, you're lost, aren't you? He said, no, we're lost. I said, David, I assumed you knew where you're going. He said, well, I did know where I was going. I just don't know where we are. And I don't know how to get where we are going. Anybody ever been, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know how to get where I'm going. In fact, I'm talking about lost, completely, totally lost. Well, I got a news for you this morning. Life gets that way sometimes. And the Holy Spirit plays a critical role in getting us where we are going. Now, I want to talk with you for a moment about God's Spirit, but I want to be certain before I get to his role, it's just one of the roles, but his roles in getting us to where I'm going, I want to make sure we understand who we're talking about here, because the Holy Spirit is not an abstract presence. Can I get an amen? The Holy Spirit is not an abstract presence. He's not like ether in the air. He's not. He is a person. He is the Holy Spirit. A couple of things. First of all, the Holy Spirit is God. And sometimes that seems to mess us up. The Holy Spirit is God. 2 Corinthians says this, says the Lord is the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God. He's not some abstract ether in the air, feeling in the room. He is not some emotion that we feel. The Holy Spirit is Lord. The Holy Spirit is God on earth today, just like Jesus Christ was God incarnate in the earth. So the Holy Spirit is God. 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is the Spirit. Can I get an amen? God, the Holy Spirit is Lord. He is Lord. The second thing that I think is crucial is this, is that the Holy Spirit is the actual presence of God on earth today, but not just in some strange way or some broad way. The Holy Spirit is the actual presence of God in two specific places. According to what Paul told us in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is the actual presence of God, first of all, in your body. Say it with me. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says, and I'm not preaching yet, I'm just introducing. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Remember Paul's talking about there, he's going back to the temple. What was at the temple? The Ark of the Covenant. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? The mercy seat. What was on top of the mercy seat? The actual tangible physical presence of God on earth was in that. And what Paul was saying is that presence of God is now in your body. If you are saved and redeemed, you are the temple of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Wow. The second place that the temple, that the Holy Spirit dwells as the actual presence of God is here. Here. Paul says it again in another way in 1 Corinthians 1:16. Paul says this. He says the corporate body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not the building, not these four walls. This sanctuary is not the temple. The temple are you, the people that are sitting in the seats this morning. When we come together, there is something different, powerful, magnificent that happens when God's people come together. And according to Corinthians, it is because we together collectively become the temple in which God's Spirit inhabits that place. Can I just tell you something? If nothing else happened, it would be worth gathering with God's people just for the sake that in that moment we collectively become the temple of God and His Spirit inhabits that place. If nothing else happened, it would be worth coming to church just to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? In fact, I'll go further than that and I'll say this. And if that doesn't happen, it doesn't matter what else happens. Right? If that doesn't happen, it doesn't matter what else happens. So I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. He is God. His actual presence is here. But it goes even further than that. The Holy Spirit is the literal fellowship. That word fellowship means partnership or association, close partnership or association of God. The Holy Spirit is the actual fellowship for every single one of us in which the Holy Spirit dwells. When Paul was closing the second letter to the Corinthians, he said, may the grace of Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The fellowship. Geraldine mentioned this morning from Psalms, when you walk God's path, you walk in fellowship, in friendship, in close association with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. So I said all that this morning so that you understand when I talk about the Holy Spirit from the rest of this service, I am not talking about some abstract feeling or some emotion that we get. I'm talking about God, the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit whose presence is here right now. And I'm talking about the Holy Spirit who sits in the seat with you, fellowships with you, and goes with you when you leave here. I'm talking about God's presence, God's Spirit, as His presence, as your friend, and as the person of God right now in this place. Okay, are we all clear on what we're talking about? The Holy Spirit is God. He is the presence of God, and He's the fellowship of God in our lives. Now, having said all of that, I want to talk with you just a moment. What does any of that have to do with getting where we're going? I want you to do something that I usually don't do. I want you to take your phones. Everybody's got a phone. Just take it out just for a moment, if you will. Usually, pastors are saying, put away your phone. But I just want to talk with you just for a moment about everybody who has a smartphone. How many of you have a smartphone this morning? Come on, that's most everybody have a smartphone. Just as a because I'm curious. How many of you have a smartphone but a dumb operator? My smartphone is smarter than its operator most of the time. But on every smartphone, on nearly every smartphone, there is built into it a GPS, which means a global positioning system. Built into it is a GPS, which means your phone knows where you are right now. It knows where you are right now. And your phone not only knows where you are, if you tell it, it will tell you how to get where you're going. If you ask it, it will tell you to get where you are, where you are going. In fact, it has become so prevalent that it is actually a culture change has happened in our culture, and we probably haven't even realized it happened so slowly. We don't ask for directions anymore. You don't say, go out on the highway like you're going to Quitman. Go out on the highway like you're going to Quitman. Cross the two bridges, and when you cross the bridge, there's a field on the right, and when you pass that field, look for the sign, the shooting sign, and then turn right there, and you'll go in and follow the dirt road. Don't go off at the first Y. Don't split off at the first Y. Keep going until you get to the clubhouse of the shooting club. We don't do that anymore. We say simply what? Give me an address, and I'll GPS it. Give me an address and I'll GPS it. And every phone is that way. But there are some things that are interesting about that. Now, I love when I find a model that works. Let me show you how a GPS works. This is from physics.org. I promise you I'm going to make sense of this. Just stick with me. I promise I'm going somewhere with this. This is from physics.org. Don't ask me why I went to physics.org. A pastor will do anything for a good illustration. I'm telling you, anything for a good illustration. There are approximately 30 GPS satellites circling the Earth at all times. You are almost always, you are within sight of three of those satellites. So that if the satellite knows where you are in this, the first satellite, satellite A knows where you are within this red circle, right? Satellite B knows where you are within this black circle. And satellite C knows where you are within this bottom black circle, which means that the place where these three circles intersect, that's where you are. It is trilateration. Trilateration. That's how the GPS system works. It takes satellite A, satellite B, satellite C. It lays it all on top of each other. And the place where the three of those intersect, that is exactly where you are. And that's what your phone is doing right now. That's how your phone knows where you are right now. Now, here are some things that you've got to know about that about what I just said and about your phone. Listen to me. First of all, if your phone is going to do that, you have to go into the settings and give it permission. Some of you know where I'm going this morning. You have to go into your settings and tell the phone it is okay for you to track my GPS position. You've got to set it in your settings. Another thing about this is this. Listen, if you don't turn it on, it does not work. You know what's funny about David and I getting lost? We both had smartphones and lost somewhere in Central Florida. You know, if you don't turn it on, it doesn't work. Also, watch this. If you don't ask it, it won't tell you. You hear what I'm telling you? You say, you can have it on. You can give it permission. You can have it on. But if you don't ask it, tell me how to get to the shooting club, it will not tell you. It's just there. Wow. I mean, just a couple of other things here about this. Some of you understand where I'm going here. It's this. Another thing about the phone that you got to understand this. If you ignore what it says to you, you will not end up where you said you wanted to go. Hello? Are you staying with me this morning? Just one more thing. I'm probably going to meddling here, but just one more thing about that is this. Listen to me. If you are lost, your GPS knows where you are. and can find you. And can find you. Now, Pastor, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with anything that we're talking about this morning? Here it is. Let me show you God's GPS model. Let me show you God's GPS model. Watch this. God's GPS, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in your life is He is God's global positioning system in your life. Hello? Are you hearing me, what I'm saying this morning? You are there. One of the roles, one of the functions, there are many, 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 many functions, but one of the roles is He is God's GPS in your life, and He uses the three satellites, if you will, that we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. First of all, He uses God's will. The Holy Spirit knows what God's will is in your life. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, it says that the Holy Spirit knows God's will so much that He will actually pray through you and will pray the will of God for you, through you, when you don't even know what the will of God is yourself. But the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8:28, will take the will of God and He will cause it to rise up within you, and He will actually pray the will of God because He knows what God said. He'll pray the will of God in your life, but you've got to turn it on and give Him permission. Hello? You've got to give Him permission in your life. The second thing is this, is God's voice. God's voice. So watch this. If you have God's will in your life, and you're praying God's will, the second thing is God's voice. Because listen, God's will, listen to me, God's will is not so much a destination as it is a journey. God's will is not so much a just destination as it is a journey, which means that I not only need God's will, but I need God's voice so that as I journey along the way, I know when to turn right and I know when to turn left. I know when to keep going. I know when to slow down. I know. In fact, there's some of those systems that will actually tell you where the police are and where the wrecks are, right? Where the police are and where the wrecks are. And listen to me, if you have God's voice and you are listening to God's voice in your life, you can journey in God's will. He'll tell you where the wrecks are. He will tell you where the outages are. He will tell you where the police are, where the traps are. Why? If you'll listen to God's voice, you can journey along that path within God's will. Don't get caught up in thinking God's will is a destination. It is a journey along the way. So you need God's will and God's voice both working in your life so that you can stay on the path. Amen. Are you tracking with me this morning? Is this making any sense to you whatsoever? Now, it's not enough because two satellites cannot tell you where you are on the globe. Two satellites cannot tell you where you are on the globe. You need at least three. By the way, I'm told by that article that most of the time, everywhere on earth, you are in within a range of four satellites, but you need at least three. So God's will is one. God's voice, the Holy Spirit uses God's will to position you. You do understand that, don't you? The Holy Spirit uses God's will to position you. The second thing the Holy Spirit does, He uses God's voice to position you, walk with you as you travel along the way. But there's a third thing here that is absolutely crucial. We talked about it last week. It is God's word. It is God's word. Because I promise you this. Anybody here this morning that has a GPS and you still manage somehow to get lost. Come on, be honest. Come on, be honest. Yeah. Yeah. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you, only a few were brave enough this morning to admit it. The rest are liars and need to repent. Just saying. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. Even with God's will in your life, and even with God's voice in your life, not because of God, but because of us, sometimes I will still get lost. there's some decisions that I just don't know for sure what God's will is, and I'm just not able to hear God's voice. In that moment, it is God's word. You understand, won't you? It is God's word in that moment. There's some situations that I know God's will and I know God's voice, but I need something substantive. I need to be able to put my hand on something. I need to be able to put my eyes on something and make sure I'm still exactly where I need to be. So I open up his word, and his word is that third factor in our life that the Holy Spirit uses to position me exactly where he wants me to be, so that even if I don't know where I am, the Holy Spirit knows where I am all the time. I never get lost from the Holy Spirit. And his word is that third component that actually brings out the will and brings out the voice of God. His word helps position me in such a way that then all three of those come together, and the Holy Spirit knows, Glenn, don't you love it? Don't you love it when you open up God's word and they all three begin to click together? And maybe you've been in the middle of a situation. You've been in the middle of a difficulty. You've been in the middle of an obstacle or a fight. Don't you love it when God's will and God's word, God's voice all come together, and the Holy Spirit says to you, Glenn, you are right here. This is where you are. I know where you are. I know where you want to go, and I know how to get there. Keep listening to my will, listening to my voice, listening to my word. You aren't lost. I know where you are. Oh, my goodness. God's Spirit. That's why this is such a great conclusion to this whole series that we've been doing. God's Spirit uses God's word. God's Spirit uses God's voice. God's Spirit uses God's will to position us. Romans chapter 8 says God, the Holy Spirit, prays the will of God. John chapter 16 says the Spirit is the voice of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 said the Holy Spirit is the author of the word of God. And the Holy Spirit determines all those together to know where you are and how to get you where you are going. Can I get an amen this morning? Now, all of that was the introduction to get to this question. How do I turn on and use the GPS that God has put in my life, the Spirit of God that is put in my life? Again, I want to caution you, I'm not meaning the Holy Spirit in an abstract way. It's the reason I started out like I did. I'm talking about the person, the presence, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, God in your life, the Holy Spirit in your life. How do I turn it on, and how do I use it? I'm glad you ask. When Paul was writing to the Galatians. By the way, you should read the book of Galatians sometime this week. It's an easy read. It's a short read. It's a powerful, powerful literature. Paul is writing, and he is encouraging Christians to on how to live. He talks about temptation. He talks about struggles. He talks about division. And he's trying to talk to them how to live, and he's encouraging them on how to navigate life. How to navigate life. And he makes one statement that very succinctly and very precisely tells us how to turn on and use the Holy Spirit, the GPS that God has put into our lives. And it's Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us, watch what it says here. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. There it is. You want to know how to turn on and use God's global positioning system for your life, the Holy Spirit. You know how to turn it on? Listen, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What was Paul saying here? Let me just unpack this just a little bit. The word live there is actually the word alive in a transcendent manner. Alive in a transcendent. It actually means resurrected life. Resurrected life. In other words, since we have resurrected life by the Spirit. Since we have resurrected life by the Spirit. By the way, commercial here, I'm going to preach a series leading up, starting the first Sunday in April. I'm going to preach a series on resurrection leading up to Easter. You're going to want to be here for that series. Three messages on resurrection leading up to Easter on the 21st. So end of commercial there. But God's spirit actually breathed resurrected life in us. In other words, it is more than being alive as opposed to being dead. It is living as opposed to just being alive. Now, that just went over somebody's head. It is more than this life that he's talking, this resurrected life is more than being alive as opposed to dead. It is actually truly living rather than just being alive. What Paul said is, you are alive. You have resurrected life in you. The word spirit here means breath of God. Wind of God, the very breath of God. So know what he's saying. You understand what he's saying in that first part there. What he's saying in that first part there is, since the Holy Spirit breathed resurrected life inside of you, shouldn't you then walk? The word walk there means keep in, follow behind the Spirit of God. In other words, let me just make it simple to you. You know that all of us, every one of us was dead in our sins, but the Holy Spirit breathed resurrected life inside of us, and I woke up, I stood up, the chains fell off, the bondages fell off, the difficulties fell off, the hard, it fell off of me, the drudgery of sin fell off of me. What? And so when I get up, why would I then not follow the Holy Spirit? Right? If it's the Holy Spirit that breathes resurrected life in me, then why wouldn't I live the life that he gave me in step with him, following along behind him? Wow. That word there actually means to conform to. The word hold to or in step with actually means to conform to. You understand what Paul is saying here? He's saying, since Christians had the breath of life in them and lived the resurrected life, they should conform to and follow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit breathes God's life inside of me. So life is lived best. Don't miss this. Life is lived best when I live in cooperation with, submission to, and obedience of the Holy Spirit. There it is. So how do you turn on and use the GPS in your life? The Living Translation of Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 puts it this way. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Wow, there it is. Let me read that again. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Wow. So how do you actually do that, Pastor? I'm going to give you three things right here to actually turn on and use God wants to position you in your life. He cares about every relationship. He cares about your job. He cares about your finances. He cares about your health. He cares about your marriage. He cares about your family. He cares about your future. He cares about your ministry. God cares about every detail, and he wants to position you. So I'm going to give you three things that help us do that. One is this: give him permission. Give him permission. Give the Holy Spirit access to your life. Give the Holy Spirit access to your life. You've given Siri access to your life. Why would you not give God access to your life? Right? Give the Holy Spirit access to your life. Watch this. The area that you do not give him permission to lead in, you will be lost in. Come on now. If you say, my finances are mine, that's not God's, you're going to be lost in your finances. If you say, my morality is mine, that's not God's, you're going to be lost in the immorality. If you say, my body is mine, I'm not going to surrender that to God, then you're going to be lost within your health. You have to give God access. Give him permission. Take down the borders. Take down the walls. Open yourself to the leading of the Holy Spirit in every area of your life. Amen? That's how you can access and start the Holy Spirit moving in your life. But you listen, you cannot do this partially. You have to, you have to give God access. Give him permission. Give him permission. The second thing is this. Listen to him. Give him permission. The second thing is listen to him. It does no good whatsoever to give him permission and then ignore what he says. Right? In fact, one of the places that we do this all the time in life, and this is not a commentary on the medical profession at all, it's just an illustration of what I'm talking about. How many times have you been to the doctor? You go to the doctor because you're sick or something, and you go to the doctor, and he gives you advice, and you leave out of there, and you say, I'm not taking that medicine, and I'm not doing that physical therapy. Then why did you spend $100 to go to the doctor? We do that with the Holy Spirit all the time. Holy Spirit, you have permission. Holy Spirit, you have access. I'm not keeping anything away from you. I'm giving you my family. I'm giving you my marriage. I'm giving you my finances. I'm giving you my entertainment. I'm giving you my leisure time. I'm giving it all to you. And then when he tells you something within that, you say, right? I don't think I want to do that. I don't think I want to go that. I don't think that's, but you listen, you have to listen to the instructions. In fact, and the way to do this best is listen first for the still, small voice. God still speaks in a still, small voice. When Casey Lynn was in third grade, what was her teacher's name? The one was so fabulous. Third grade, first teacher in Pleasant Grove. Oh, I cannot remember her name. She was incredible. I somehow got elected to go on this field trip with third graders. And so there were several parents there, and Caselyn came out, so I got on and I sat down with her, and it was chaos. Oh my word, third graders, a busload of third graders pumped because they're going on a field trip. I mean, it was utter chaos. And oh my goodness, and the teacher got on. It was a phenomenal. I was stunned by it. The teacher got on, and she stepped to the front. She stepped up on the top step. She looked back, and she said, now, children, kids, we're not going to act like that. And it just began to hush in the bus. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know they could even hear her. I was kind of like Simon in the New Testament. If I give you money, will you teach me how to do that? I mean, come on, man. In the middle of your chaos, no matter how loud it is, no matter what thunders, no matter how difficult, no matter how much it lightnings, no matter how hard the rain is beating down or how high the waves are, in the middle of your chaos, if you will listen, God will send his still, small voice, and there will be peace on the inside, regardless of the storm on the outside. Listen for his still, small voice. His still small voice in your life. And then the third thing, give him permission, listen to his voice. And then the third thing is this, follow him. Follow him. Listen, and I often address the younger in the room. And when I say that, I'm talking about young adults and teenagers and so forth. In fact, the older I get, the older young gets. But listen to me. Listen to me. And I just want to say this to the younger in the room. In fact, it applies to most all of us. But I especially say it to them. Listen. Following the crowd is not all that. Not all that. In fact, listen. If you're going to follow the crowd, you better make sure you know where they're going. And make sure you want to go where they're going. Following the crowd is not all that. You follow the Holy Spirit. You follow him in your relationships. You follow him in your decisions. You follow him in your schoolwork. You follow him in your career. You follow the Holy Spirit. Do what he says through his will. Do what he says through his voice. Do what he says through his word. Do what he tells you. Do what he tells you. If he convicts you, Repent. Don't make an excuse. You do understand, don't you, that making an excuse to God is like telling mama that you didn't do it. Mama knows you did it. Mama knows you did it. Let me just crush that right off the bat. Mama knows you did it. Telling the Holy Spirit, I didn't do it. Wasn't me. I don't know how the pot fell. Were you the only one here in the room? Yeah, but I don't know how the pot fell. We do the same thing with the Holy Spirit, right? Glenn, is that place in your life? Glenn, did you do that? I don't know how it happened. It's like making an excuse to your mama. The Holy Spirit knows you. Listen, if the Holy Spirit convicts you, repent. Conviction is not a bad thing. Conviction is a good thing. Conviction is to the soul what pain is to the body. It tells you something's wrong and you need to get it right. Let me say that again. Conviction is to the soul what pain is to the body. It tells you something's wrong. You need to get it right. If he convicts you, repent. Just repent, right? If he says to move, move, right? Like go. Take a step. If he corrects you, change directions, right? If he corrects you, change directions. You know what correction is like? Conviction and correction, we get so wrong in our Christian life. We think many times we get so spiritual that we won't ever have to be corrected. And I got to tell you, I find the opposite. The most mature Christians are the ones that are easiestly corrected. You want to know how mature a Christian is, correct them, and it will show their maturity every single time. But correction, we see correction all wrong. You know what correction is right? Like, correction is like the Holy Spirit. Jay, come help me. Let's say Jay's driving down the road. What kind of car are you going to drive? Come on now, you got a Jaguar. Come on, man. I'm giving you a choice here, man. A Jaguar, right? You're driving a Jaguar down the road, and you come up on a policeman who's waving a flashlight, and he says, "There's fog, and a 16 car pileup ahead." And you say, "It's my life. I'll do what I want to with it," and you just walk right on ahead. Hello. Right? It's my life. I'll do what I want to with it and do what? You plow, right? It's a 17 car pile up now. Thanks, Jay. But we do this with our life, right? God wants to talk to you about your entertainment, or God wants to talk to you about a relationship that you're in. God wants to talk to you about the way that you're doing business. I mean, it affects. And you say, it's my life. I'll do what I want to with it. And the Holy Spirit says, well, okay. I'll be there when you crash. Right? Correction is the Holy Spirit waving a flashlight in your life and saying, there's a wreck up ahead. There's fog up ahead. There's a bridge out that's ahead. You need to turn around and go a different direction. Don't you dare ignore conviction of the Holy Spirit. He is warning you for your good about something that is ahead. Amen? Listen to him. Follow him. Do what he says. When the Holy Spirit says, be quiet. Right? This may be the hardest one of all. Come on now. When the Holy Spirit says, Glenn, don't say that. And you are like, right? It may be the hardest one of all. And not just for some people. And I know it's even harder for some people. And I will not call any names. You can do that. But I think it's hard for all of us. Don't say that. We want to defend ourselves. We want to prove our point. We want to show how smart we are. We'll show how mature we are, right? And the hardest thing a lot of times is when the Holy Spirit says, shh, 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 shh. When he says be quiet, just be quiet. When he prompts you to use your gift, then serve. We prompt or lead or teach or speak or cook or visit or sing or clean or whatever it may. When he prompts you to wait, you didn't even know I was going here. When he prompts you to wait, don't be impatient. Stay on his path, and he will honor you. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit would do in your life. Here's the whole message in one sentence this morning. The main idea of this whole thing is let the Holy Spirit guide you through life, and you will live life the way it is designed to be lived. You'd understand the Holy Spirit has a design for your life. And if you will follow the Holy Spirit, if you'll let him be your guide, if you will give him permission, listen to him, follow him, you will live life the way your life is designed to be lived. And listen, not only will you arrive successfully, you'll have a successful journey on the way. I don't want to just make it through life. I want to live life fully under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. See, this changes everything. The Holy Spirit not only makes the destination better, it makes the trip better. Marriage is better. Business is better. Exercise is better. Entertainment is better. Health is better. Family is better when it is led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this morning, I've asked Michael to have a song ready to just play softly this morning as we take just a moment. We take just a moment this morning. And there's only one of two responses. It's only one of two responses to this morning's message. Holy Spirit, I give you permission. Or I'm going to keep doing things my way. That's the only two responses to the word this morning. This song says, your presence is heaven to me. Why is that? Not just because I can worship and feel and sense his presence. His presence is heaven to me because it is God's positioning system in my life. It puts me where I need to be, when I need to be there, doing the thing God wants and desires and wishes me to do. And so his presence is heaven to me. So here's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to ask Michael in just a moment to turn that up a little bit. And I want you to worship. You can stand, you can sit. I just want you to worship just for a moment. And in that worship, give the Holy Spirit permission. You say, Pastor, I've already given him permission. Can I encourage you to do something this morning? Do an examination and say, Holy Spirit, if there's any area in my life that I've kept closed off from you, I give you permission to all of my life this morning. And if you are here this morning, I need to say this. If you are here this morning and you've not given Christ permission to come into your life, you are not saved. You do not know him. You do not know him. That's the first thing to do is ask Christ into your heart. And so this morning when this plays, I'm going to ask you to worship and give the Holy Spirit permission. But if you are here this morning and you don't know Christ and you want somebody to walk with you through that, I'm going to ask you to just come down here. I'm going to be here. We're just going to worship for a moment. Can we just do that? Just worship for a moment. Michael, turn it up. I want you to worship just for a moment and give the Holy Spirit permission with this song that says, your presence is heaven to me.
Days on earth I will await.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
The moment that I see you face to face.
Yes. Yes.
For nothing in this world.
Give the Holy Spirit permission. If you want to meet Christ this morning, I'll wait you down here. I'll introduce you to him.
Oh, Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Yes. Holy Holy Spirit, we just give you permission this morning to every area and every place in our life. We invite you to come this morning, Lord. We'll listen to your voice. We'll follow your instructions, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your will in our life. Thank you for your voice in our life. Thank you for your word in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Won't you all stand, and if you know it, just sing it just for a moment before we dismiss this morning.
Your presence is heaven to me. Oh, Jesus, your presence is heaven to me.
Holy Spirit, we do thank you. We do give you permission in our lives this morning. We thank you for the will of God that you use in our life. We thank you that you are the voice of God in our lives. We thank you that you are the author of the word of God and you instruct us in it in our lives, Lord. And we praise and we thank you. Lord, may we now give you permission to use God's positioning system in our lives to guide us, get us where we're going, more importantly, where you want us to be. We thank you and we praise you for it this morning. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, and we give you permission. We will listen to your voice and follow your instructions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you again so much for being here through this series. This entire series should be up online, hopefully by tomorrow night, direct people to it. I've already had somebody ask about this message, and yes, it will be up by tomorrow night. So thank you for being here. Thank you again on behalf of Geraldine and I. We're going to take a few days off this week. If you have an emergency, please call one of the leaders in the church, and if necessary, they'll get a hold of us. Till I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. I love you.